across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Thank you very much for some great emails recently, some fabulous guest suggestions. I think in the last fortnight we've had the very best crop of guest suggestions I've ever known with this show, and I want to do them justice. I'm on it. Thank you very, very much. If you want to contact me with reflections on the shows, want to tell me what you think about them, how I'm doing them, who should be on them, go to www.theunexplained.tv, the website designed by Adam Cornwell at Creative Hotspot in Liverpool, and there you can contact me or make a donation to the show. There are links for both of those things there at www.theunexplained.tv. This time round we have somebody who will turn out, I think, to be a very special guest. I didn't know anything about her until very recently, but my friend Roger Sanders in California is a big fan and said, you and she have got to converse. Her name is Dr. Rita Louise, and that's all I will say about her for now, but she's coming on here soon from the US. All right, let's do those shout-outs. Parker Schultz in Canada, good to hear from you, Parker. Dimitrios Cosmos in Oregon, thank you for that nice email, Dimitrios. Barry in Lancashire telling me about the ongoing reports about a strange object on the moon that has been seen all over the world by amateur astronomers and others. Also, of course, we've had those photographs recently from Mars, the rover showing rocks that have suddenly appeared in front of it. Where did they come from? Odd rocks as well. One that looks a bit like a sponge. What is that about? Jill in San Jose, California, thank you for your email. In America, a Vietnam veteran, Mike Lazorchak. Mike, very good to hear from you. I hope you're keeping well, my friend. Keith in upstate New York, thank you for your email. Bob Johnson near frozen Chicago, good to hear from you. Leslie in Winnipeg, Canada, thank you. Denise in Tivoli, New York, very interesting email, Denise, and your points, let me tell you, are noted. Oscar, thank you for your email. And Vicky Vieira, always good to hear from you in Hawaii, probably my favorite place on the planet. I also had an email from a guy in the UK who I cannot name, and this is the reason why. He was in the RAF in the 1970s. And a squadron leader in the RAF told him the most amazing UFO contact story, I suppose is what you can call it. Fighters were scrambled, not the first time that that's happened, and pursued this thing at very, very high speed. Now, this is not doing justice to the story, but you know who you are. If you have more where that came from, then I need to get you on this show, and please tell me. Very, very interesting, very credible email. And he also tells me, and I promise not to use his name, that the people who were involved in this in the 70s were transferred or moved in the RAF to other bases after this happened. We've heard that before too, haven't we? So that's a fascinating ongoing story. Now, the guest this time is Dr. Rita Louise, who is a broadcaster, podcaster like me, somebody who is a New Age expert and a researcher in many, many different things. Now, I can't really sum her up, so I'm going to let her do that as we cross now by digital connection with my fingers crossed to the United States. And I say, Dr. Rita Louise, thank you for coming on The Unexplained.
Well, thanks for having me, Howard. I'm looking forward to visiting with you and everyone that's out there listening.
Well, this is good. Now, you are a fine practitioner of the broadcaster's art, because I have been listening to your podcasts and stuff that you've done online. So you know what you're doing, Rita Louise. My friend Roger Sanders, and your friend too in California, is a big fan of yours. And all I know about you is that he said that you and I should commune and we should do a show together. So here it is. Okay.
Well, okay. I'm feeling the vibe, Howard. I'm feeling the vibe.
Well, I'm trying to send it, so you're obviously picking it up. Whereabouts are you in the U.S.?
I live in Texas.
Do you?
I'm not from Texas, but this is where I call home these days.
Wow. I love the idea of Texas. I've always wanted to go. Never have. Had friends in Dallas, and I really have to go one of these days. How would you sum up that great big state?
Hot in the summer, mm-hmm. warm in the winter, mm-hmm. And big, very big. Everything's big in Texas.
Well, this is the UK. Everything's small here. But perfectly formed. Okay. Now, you have a big presence on the internet, and you have books out, and you do broadcasting, podcasting. but I still don't quite know if it's possible to sum you up, if there are any words that would adequately do that. So help me out.
Well, you know, I'm challenged with that sometimes myself, too, because I'm interested in so many different areas. But I think if I kind of put a very broad topic on it, I'm really interested in anything that has to do with alternative thought, whether it's, you know, alternative archaeology, the paranormal, psychic phenomena, anything that's kind of out of the box pretty much interests me. You know, and I've been investigating these topics since I was very young, and it has just been a lifelong passion, just reading and studying and researching and writing and investigating, because there's always something new to learn, always something different to explore.
But here's where I had the problem with you, because you are Dr. Rita Louise, and you're not only somebody who explores and writes about it. I've talked to a lot of those people, but you're also a kind of therapist, aren't you?
I am a naturopathic physician and have a PhD in natural health counseling, where the focus of my study was on how our thoughts and emotions affect our health. So in my, you know, private practice, I work as a medical intuitive, and I help people to really understand why they get sick.
That is where I want to start with you, and I'm glad you said that. Because it's something that's fascinated me for a long time, not least because I've had a variety of strange things myself, as most people have, and I've often wondered how much of this is affected by the way that I'm thinking and by my lifestyle and by the thoughts that I'm having and my aims and the wrong turnings that I've taken in life. So that's your whole area. What causes people then to have malaise, to get sick?
Well, I mean, there are things that happen to us. We break our leg, you know, hurt our back. We pick up a virus, you know, something from the environment. But when people experience, you know, those chronic illnesses, diabetes, high blood pressure, weight gain can even fall into this category. There is something within them that is looking to be expressed and isn't, or is looking to be resolved and isn't. And so it kind of festers in our psyche until it actually breaks through and manifests in the physical body, where our body is saying, hey, look at me, pay attention. You know, there's something wrong and you need to address it. And it's by understanding what that is and resolving it and changing who we are in our relationship with ourselves that we can move through it or move past it.
In the UK last week in the news that I was involved in broadcasting to one part of the UK, we had a story that said effectively, and this is no big surprise really, that a lot more of us are going to be obese by the time we get to 2020 and then 2050. Than the government and official estimates predicted. This is a bit of a worry. Are we trying to say that all of those people who are getting obese, and I've put on weight, let me tell you, are manifesting issues and not really just lovers of food?
No, I mean, because there definitely is a food component to the whole thing, and the kinds of foods we eat and the amount of exercise we get. I mean, that definitely plays into weight gain. But there are also a number of people who put on weight because they are trying to protect themselves from the world around them, because they take on energy from other people and aren't willing to express their truth, express themselves. And it's kind of like, well, I'll just take that emotion and just stick it on this thigh. You know, it's kind of like the donut, you know, I'm just going to stick that on my hip. But they take that emotional energy and just put it somewhere. You know, for example, I worked with one woman, and when I first met her, she was happy, happy, gay, gay. I love everybody, blah, blah, blah. And that's what she spoke. But when I looked at her, I just commented to her about all of this anger she held on to, and she didn't believe me. And, you know, I worked with her for a while. And then one day she came in and she was like, I mean, apparently she tapped into all of this anger that she was carrying around for years, and she wouldn't let it go. You know, there was this thing in her mind is, if I tap into it, it'll be like this Pandora's box and it'll, you know, inflict pain on the world. But then she tapped into it. And the interesting part, Howard, She lost 100 pounds in 6 months and did nothing.
That is amazing. I'm going to ask you a really crass question. How did she do that? How did she do it? Did she just simply avoid opportunities for stuffing her face full of food?
Her relationship with food changed. It wasn't... Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
You know, the desire, the need to eat to suppress the emotions that she was having went away because now she was in contact with herself. One of the things that I have seen, especially with extremely overweight people, is that there's this kind of disassociation with their physical body. And so they don't realize how much they're eating, or there's this very unconscious eating pattern that happens because their spirit, their soul is, you know, on one side of the room, very far away from their body. And once they start connecting with what's going on inside of them, which includes their emotional energy, you know, they realize it's like, well, I'm not really hungry.
That's very, very interesting. A little close to home, because I have to say, in my own case, I've had a bereavement to deal with. I had a problem with my health, with my hearing, that meant I had to stop broadcasting for a year and a half. Various other bits of stuff that have gone on with me, and I have piled on the weight. So those were external things that I think were affecting what happened to me internally, and that's what you're talking about. But there's another issue here, isn't there? And it's a much broader issue involving all of those millions of people who are obese, who are overweight now. And I wonder if this is something that's occurred to you, maybe it has, that life right now is very dysfunctional. People, it seems to me, whether they know it or whether they don't, maybe they're yet to discover it in many cases, are more and more disconnected from control over their lives. And that's because of technology. That's because of the way that companies work now. Corporations, they treat people as units of production, and that's all. And I wonder, and maybe it's controversial, if that is why, and people don't realize it, they're getting fat.
I mean, I think that definitely does play into what's going on. I think that people are running around in a state of fear and a state of uncertainty. And when, I mean, your listeners, if I use the chakra word, are they going to know what I'm talking about, do you think?
You mean chakra?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might. I've got a lot of very clued in people listening to this, Rita, but just for those who maybe are not, or maybe it's all new to them, or maybe they've just seen the word and they're not entirely sure what those portals are, explain better than I could.
Okay. Well, I mean, in the physical body, or we have energy centers that are called chakras, and their job is to send, receive, and process information from the world around us. And so one of our chakras, the first chakra, is located at the base of the spine. And it's through that chakra that we ground into the earth and feel connected. But the emotional energy that is tied to that energy center is fear. And so when we're experiencing fear, whether it's, you know, fear of our job, fear of, you know, losing our job, fear of not having enough money, you know, needs, those kind of things, you know, we go into that survival space. It causes that grounding, our connectedness to ourselves and our connectedness to the world around us, to kind of shrivel up, and we become very disconnected. And one of the attributes of that is our relationship to our physical body. And so we disassociate. And so you do have a lot of unconscious eating going on, or eating for comfort. You know, I'm just the opposite. When I go into a stress situation, I get really skinny.
Some people
which is
do.
Okay. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. You know, but I think also the kinds of foods that we're eating, I mean, I don't know how it is in the UK, but to buy, you know, a pound of broccoli here is $2.50 a pound. It's like, well, do I buy a pound of broccoli or do I buy something else? You know, steaks are going for $7 to $8+ a pound. I mean, it's very expensive to eat foods that are going to be more healthy and nutritious for us. And that's just not even going into the whole eat organic, You know, this is just at your basic supermarket. And so I think people are really being challenged by their food choices and their economic situation. You know, you can go to McDonald's and get something cheap, or you can eat things that are very high in carbohydrates that are going to pack the weight on you.
The fact of the matter is, isn't it, because of the nature of modern life, you kind of end up eating crap. Whether you're not working and you can only afford cheap stuff, then that's how you eat. And if you are working and you're really, really stressed, you haven't got time to eat properly. So both ways, you end up eating garbage.
Kind of. yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think
I just thought I'd float that idea with you.
You know, well, I mean, I think there are people that, you know, really do try to eat healthy and do it, you know, the best that they can. And I think people are trying to do the best that they can with limited resources.
So there you come into it all. How do you reconnect people with the desires and the feelings that they ought to have, as opposed to the ones that subconsciously on some level they're having, and then they're leading them into problems and ill health?
Well, I mean, many times we don't even realize what the issue is. I mean, these problems usually will stem from childhood, you know, our teenage years, maybe our early 20s, and then 20 or 30 years later, they will rear their ugly head in our physical body. And so I will talk to people and I'll make some comment about, well, this issue that you have with your dad, and this is the emotion. It's like, oh, well, I resolved that. But they maybe mentally resolved it, but they're still holding on to it in their physical body. Emotionally, it's not fully, they're not done with it. And so sometimes just making them aware of what they're holding on to, they can go, well, that's dumb. And just change it. You know, it is just the most miraculous thing to have somebody connect with what the issue is and just go, well, I'm not in agreement to that anymore. And then boom, change it. You know, other people, you know, I do a lot of energy work with my clients. I do EFT with my clients.
EFT?
Emotional freedom technique. It's that tapping.
I've heard of the tapping, thing. But EFT is a new phrase to me, a new acronym.
Yeah. You know, so there are a number of ways in which to help people move through that energy. And sometimes it's compounded. There might be, you know, when I work with someone, I can relay back to them what they're willing to share. And so sometimes you have to kind of dig through this onion to really get to what the core of the problem is.
You said you're an intuitive. What is, yes, one of those?
I'm a psychic person. You know, I live in a very alternative world. I graduated from the Berkeley Psychic Institute. I studied with them. And I had always, since I was 12, I wanted to be psychic and started reading books on psychic phenomena and, you know, thought that if I learned how to read tarot cards, I'd be psychic, and discovered that that didn't work. Mm-hmm. And went to the Berkeley Psychic Institute. And after being in their program for literally 3 weeks, I discovered that I had been very psychic my whole life, but I never connected the dots. I didn't know that if you, true story, walk up to someone and say, well, where were you yesterday? You know, having them check for a brain tumor because they didn't show up to work one day, and that is where they were, you were actually having a psychic moment. Oops. You know, and so I would always have these situations that happened my whole life, but no one said when you have this coincidence, that is having a psychic moment. You know, and so when I give presentations on intuition, I really help people to identify different situations that they might be having in their lives that actually are psychic moments versus just some weird coincidence, synchronistic event that makes you write off the actual phenomena itself.
So is psychic ability manifesting when the coincidences become repeatable, when you get more of them, when you know that you can do these things, when you meet somebody and you know you're going to get feelings about them?
I mean, I think people are more inclined to use that word, the psychic word, over intuition. You know, when I give presentations, I will often ask, you know, how many people feel that they are intuitive? And 3/4, you know, or more of the room will raise their hand. And if I ask right on the back of that, well, how many of you feel that you're psychic? I maybe get 1 or 2 people. And there's really a disconnect between our owning our intuition and accepting that it is psychic phenomena. And to me, those words are pretty interchangeable.
So do people come to you for readings?
Mm-hmm.
They do?
I mean, yeah. Okay. I mean, they come to me for psychic readings. I do a lot of work with people about their health, you know, but that's still a psychic reading because they might say, well, I'm having, you know, this issue, you know, I'm having problems digesting food or, you know, whatever their problem is. And then I just start talking, you know, so it's me, more of me talking to them about what their problems are versus, you know, filling out forms and doing tests and stuff like that. I don't do any of that. I just blah, 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 look, blah, blah, blah.
And how much use is that if you tell somebody they have an issue that you have detected? Maybe they don't even know they've got it themselves, or they certainly don't know the cause of it. Is it useful in terms of there's a way forward for those people you present or suggest?
Yes. I mean, usually when I have a session with someone, I will provide some first steps, you know, whether working with some supplements, doing some kind of therapy, you know, go to the chiropractor. You need to go to your doctor and complain about this today, you know, which is usually the last resort. But there are situations where medical intervention is definitely required, and telling them that they need to go see their doctor is the appropriate thing to do.
How do you know you're right? Presumably they come back, you've gone very quiet, but presumably they come back and tell you you're right.
Well, you know, you don't get a lot of people coming back and telling you you're right, but of the people that do come back, you know, they're amazed because, you know, especially the ones that go to their doctors, you know, they'll go and they'll, I'll get the feedback. It's like, well, what you said was 100% true. You know, I mean, I just was working with someone recently who had, I don't remember what the medical term was, but his heart was sputtering. You know, there was an issue going on with the valve, you know, and he wasn't 100% sure what was going on and didn't give me a whole lot of information. I'm like, well, it's sputtering and it's causing you to not have enough pressure in your heart. And so your heartbeat, even though it's steady and regular, there's not enough pressure. And so in my mind, you know, and I told him, I go, you need to go, you know, follow the path you're on, work with your doctor. And I'm thinking the guy has to have open heart surgery. Well, it turns out that he worked for a doctor doing the managing the office kind of stuff. So had a very good understanding of health. And there is this procedure where they could just, you know, put the little wire into your vein and seal it up. And so he did that. His blood pressure went from being erratic back to normal levels. You know, and I said, well, where I'm seeing the sputter is in this 3 to 4 o'clock area. Well, that was just about where they found it in his heart, you know? And so it's that kind of feedback that lets me know that I'm doing something right.
Sounds like you are. The guy worked for a doctor, though surprising that he didn't know all this before he came to you.
It was a new situation. It had only been going on for a couple of months. And even though he worked for a doctor, I don't know that he trusted medicine all that much.
And you know, I'm not being dismissive because the fact of the matter is, we know this, don't we, that it's very, very easy to ignore stuff if it's about you. And it doesn't matter if you are a doctor, whatever you are, you know, doctor, lawyer, civil engineer, as they say, you can turn a blind eye to things.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, just because you work in the health profession doesn't mean that you necessarily trust medicine or the procedures that they're going to want to do. And, you know, this man was a very spiritual individual and understood that there were other things potentially going on that wasn't just with his physical body and wanted to understand why he manifested it in the first place. And so that was his primary reason of coming to me, was to understand why he manifested it.
Right. You know, and you're not naming him here. You're only just talking around the case. You're not giving his name. Why? Give me an idea of why that manifested.
Well, what it turned out to be was that in his office environment, there was someone that works with him that basically her energy was kind of evil. I mean, that very nasty, very negative, kind of looking over his shoulder, even though he was a more senior person in this company, kind of looking to undermine him to get favor. And my assessment of what happened was that, you know, there might have been a weakness in that tissue and it blew out. You know, so for him, it wasn't this extra long history of emotional discord per se. I mean, there was some stuff that he had that was old, but for him, it was a much more current thing. And that valve, it just blew out, which apparently can happen.
You said something really fascinating here about this person in his office. I've always believed, although it's very, very hard, if not impossible, to get proof, that there are people in this world who are, in inverted commas, in quote marks, bad news. And if you associate with them, you have a relationship with them, you work with them, whatever, and you're an innocent in their company, they can impact you.
Oh, very much so. I mean, when I was talking about the chakras, how they send, receive, and process information around us, I mean, they kind of act like cat whiskers, you know, where they are touching and feeling and absorbing, you know, for lack of a better word, whatever the vibe is in a space. And so if you're interacting with someone that has, I like to say, bad mojo, you know, you're picking up on that bad energy. And it's going to impact you because, you know, we're designed to do that.
Well, I've worked, and as you have, in a broadcast environment, and I've worked on a lot of radio stations in my time, and it's a creative place, it's a place of ego, it's a place where there's a lot of competition. And for some reason, I've always been able to suss out and to know those people who I need to be very, very wary about. And even though I've suffered sometimes at their hands, I've known what's going on. Sometimes it's impossible to stop, but I've been able to sense what they were up to and how they were doing it. And I've never quite understood, and I've never actually talked about this before now, but I've never quite understood how that works.
Well, you were receiving the information from the world around you, you know, and I call that having psychic, you know, psychic powers, intuition. You know, there are different vibrations that we pick up and work with. You know, some people are more sensitive than other people. Some people are, they might pick up the information, but they ignore it. But it sounds like for you, you detect that information because it is information and you do something with it, or you put it in the back of your mind, you know, on that little yellow notepad, you know, for those days that you need it. And we'll bring it and utilize that information to and help.
Hopefully you learn from it along the way. Now, you've got some great book titles. I love your book titles. You're very good. I don't know whether you come up with them all, but they're nice. Tying into what we've just been talking about, is it the 2x4, Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4 or 2x4? And the blurb for this book is, treat yourself to some soulful nourishment and an expansion of your concept of who and what you are. Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4 brings the whole subject of energy medicine into vivid reality. That's a great couple of lines there. That's what we've been talking about, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It's 2x4, you know, and the cosmic 2x4 is that whack up the side of the head.
Right.
Which I think everyone has experienced, you know.
I had a feeling it might be. And so how do you avoid? You've told me stories of people who've been affected and they've gone away and changed their lives. Maybe they've had some medical treatment or perhaps they've changed their working situation, whatever. But you're talking about avoiding this cosmic 2x4, 2x4. How do you avoid it?
Well, you know, as I was saying a little bit earlier, when we manifest disease, by the time it gets into our physical body, in most cases, there is a long history of something going on, you know, in our psyche. And so to avoid it is to recognize that there is an issue and then correcting it while it's still an emotional issue versus a physical issue. You know, and so in the book, I really go into the dynamics of us as being spiritual beings and energy beings and what those different feelings are, what could be hung up. You know, and I'll use myself as an example, and I don't want you to laugh at me, Howard. But I used to be extremely shy.
This must have been a long time ago.
I've worked on it a lot. To the point that it was almost painful. I mean, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't put myself out there verbally. And, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I realized that it was hindering me from being who I knew I could be or who I wanted to be, and I didn't like it. And so I spent a lot of years just working on being able to speak, not necessarily, you know, speak in front of a room full of people, just speak to anybody, you know, and to the point that an exercise that I gave myself was you have to go say hi or make some comment to somebody before they say something to you. So, you know, picture this. I go into 7-Eleven and I have to use all of my effort to say hi to the person behind the counter before they say hi to me. I mean, that's how bad it was. It was bad. And
I was the same. Let me tell you, I was the same. So this is not I'm not laughing because this is my story too, but please go on. Sorry.
Well, obviously, I've kind of worked through that energy. But I just think, and you know, if that's your story too, imagine where you would be if you didn't. You know, what would be going on? You know, what would all of that talk information, all of that verbal expression, all of that expression in general would still be stuffed inside of you. And I can't even imagine how that would manifest in the physical body.
So it's a problem that you really have to deal with. I always loved listening to radio, and I never thought that I would be on it because I was so desperately shy. I wouldn't talk to people. I did find it very hard to go into stores and talk to the person behind the counter. Sometimes, and this I'm deeply embarrassed by this, I had a wonderful father who I lost last year, and he was very, very important to me. Sometimes in my teens, I get him to go into the shop for me. And I realized the only way to overcome this, since I like radio, was to put myself on it. Then I'm going to have to talk to an awful lot of people. I've never said that before, either on a podcast or on the radio or anywhere. What's with you, Rita Louise? My God, people tell you things.
But they tell me everything.
But your way of dealing with it, funnily enough, people confide in me too. It's a strange thing. And anyway, it's not about me. We're talking about you. But your way of dealing with it was a similar thing, wasn't it? As you've just said, you set yourself little challenges along the way.
Exactly. You know, and you just, you know, and for me, it was something very obvious. For other people, it's maybe not so obvious. Or for some people, they did not have the role models. You know, I'm going to kind of go off on a little tangent here, you know, but they say that issues like gallbladder disease, is
I'm glad you
genetic,
said that.
Or diabetes is genetic. Mm. But, you know, and I have a but, and it's one of those chicken and the egg things. I have worked with a number of people that have gallbladder disease, and it's a very specific group that, okay, back up. In Chinese medicine, the gallbladder has to do with our ability to plan. So there are people that are great planners that experience gallbladder disease. But usually what happens is that their plans get foiled. And so you have plans to go to the movies with your girlfriends, and that day your child gets sick and now you have to cancel out. You know what I mean? So you plan and now you can't manifest the plan. Those people get gallbladder disease. But then there's a different group of people that cannot plan to get out of a paper bag. And those people, it's true. What's interesting is that there is this group of people that they come from a family of people that can't plan. And then you ask them and it's like, well, Aunt Sally has gallbladder disease and Uncle Fred has gallbladder disease. And so they come from this whole family of people that can't plan. And it's just interesting that, is it genetic or, you know, is it this family inheritance of you're not really given the skill set to do things and now you're having to deal with it later in life?
And as you said, bringing it back to you, your shyness, you realized, or maybe you realized later, you've got to tell me, would have manifested itself in some kind of physical malaise ailment if you hadn't dealt with it.
I mean, that's my belief. I have come to learn that I really have a need to express, whether creatively, through my writing, through my radio show. I really do have this need to express. And so I don't know what I would have been like.
Let's talk about some of your writing. The book titles are really the whole story, really. Dark Angels is one of them I've got noted down here because it's something that you've explored that a lot of people I've had on here don't like to talk about. You know, we've done maybe 5 minutes of a 60-minute conversation on the bad side of the spirit world. Dark Angels is all about that bad side. So what is the dark side of the spirit world? We know that there are positive and negative elements there. There's good and there's bad. And there are negative entities that if you use things, or people say if you use things like Ouija boards, you can, if you're not very, very disciplined with them, you can call up. So what's that all about?
I mean, in my book, Dark Angels, An Insider's Guide to Ghost Spirits and Attached Entities, I start the book off with just kind of a spectrum of the spirit world with angels on one end and spirit guides on one end because they're the good angels. And then ghosts and moving down to what I would actually classify as a demon, which I do give them their own category, moving into the darker realms, because there are good ghosts and nice ghosts, and then there are not so nice ghosts. And then there are, what I call attached entities, which I put into a darker category. And then again, the demon category. So I break it up into five categories. And it's interesting because, I really have very little interest in studying about angels and spirit guides, even though, like, I know what they are and whatever. Work with my guide, blah, blah, blah. But I do find the whole ghost thing, the whole underbelly, the underdogs, maybe I just have in for the underdogs. I don't know. an interesting concept. And, you mentioned the Ouija boards, and there really is a phenomena where when people open themselves up to and rely on information, insight, help from the spirit world, and they're not careful, they can bring upon themselves and invite in a discarnate soul who isn't really that good. Someone who maybe was an alcoholic in life or had a lot of anger issues or addiction issues, and they can bring that soul in, and that spirit can actually step into our auric field and try to manipulate us.
In your research, did you come across real life cases of that?
I deal with a number of those in my private practice. Not necessarily going, I worked as a ghost hunter, going into people's homes, but the entity attachments I would actually work in my private practice. Can I tell a quick story?
Please.
So I had a woman come to me, and I deal with health stuff. I mean, we've been talking about that. But her issue was bulimia, and so bulimia is not an issue with your gallbladder or your stomach or your shoulder. It's, in my mind, a little more psychological. And so I really didn't know what to do with her, and so I just started talking to her because I feared, sometimes something will come to me as I'm talking, and I just kind of open myself up to wherever this session's going to go, it's going to go. And so I asked her, I said, so what do you eat? And so she was like, five Big Macs. And so, I mean, I'm a, I'm a skinny person. People tell me I eat like a bird. You know, like, oh, you had two sunflower seeds. Are you?
Are we talking five Big Macs a week, five Big Macs a day?
For lunch.
What?
And so, yeah, so my jaw dropped. I've had people that say, you know, you say that so flippantly. I'm like, I'm sorry, my jaw dropped. And so I asked her, I'm like, well, was that with the fries and Cokes? And she said, oh, yeah. And so then I asked her, you know, is that every day, you know, a week, you know, because that would last me a week. She goes, oh, no, for lunch. And I'm like, okay. I go, well, what about breakfast? She goes, a dozen eggs, a box of cereal. And I'm like, well, then what? She goes, well, then I throw it up.
Oh, Lord.
But Howard, this woman, you know, if I was to, you know, describe her, could she have used to lose a few pounds? Yeah. You know what I mean? Would I consider her obese at all? No. You know, so she was managing, quote unquote, the food. And so, you know, and she's talking to me. She goes, yeah, I went to this one psychic and she said that I was possessed. So I just took a step back. And as I like to say, I put my attached entity glasses on, and no, they're not available at Walmart, in case your listeners are wondering. And I looked at her and there was this young man standing behind her. And I would guess that he was 17 or 18 years old and he was very hungry. And so I communicated to her that there was this young man and blah, blah, blah. And she thought about it and said, well, you know, and I forget how the whole thing started for her. I think she had been in the hospital. There was some, you know, identifying point. And she had found after that period of time that her food habits had changed, not only with the amount that she ate, but with the kinds of foods that she ate, because she said that she never even liked McDonald's. Anyway, so I worked with her and worked on helping her move the spirit out. And it was an extremely profound session because I called his mother in and, you know, family members to help him transition, because he was really more lost. He wasn't an angry spirit. He was just lost and attached to her.
So this was an exorcism.
Of sorts. There are people that might call it that. Mm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so kind of like in the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, you see him go into the light and, you know, we helped him go into the light. And when the vortex closed around him, when he had gone fully into the light, it was a palpable experience that both she and I felt. I mean, it was memorable. I can't express it in a different way. It was, you know, because I felt it, but I'm used to feeling weird stuff, you know, all the time. But she could feel it. She, you know, when we both looked at each other like, wow, what was that?
Well, I can imagine it was relief on two levels, surely. Relief that this entity had gone to its rightful place and hopefully found the right path. And relief also that this woman was not in the grip of it anymore.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, she called me up. See, she's one of the people that gave me feedback. And she said, my eating patterns are normal. So they went back to wherever they were. And the issue with the bulimia just went away. Boom, gone. That is the impact that these entities can have over us. I mean, this is kind of a phenomenal case, but they really can exert control, and we ultimately think that it's us. There's something wrong with me, but it's not.
How absolutely fascinating. That really is. Now, you said that there are entities like that, and this was just somebody who was lost and needed finding, and you helped that to happen. But mm-hmm. presumably there are also other dark entities that may not be the remnants of people who've lived here, but come from somewhere else and are something else. Can you give me any clues about those?
Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, and to follow up, the young man that was attached to her was actually a very nice entity. There are ones that attach to people that still are human that not so nice, you know? I'm just going to say it. They're not so nice and they're persistent and they're a pain. Mm. But then there are other entities, I call them alien entities, that will attach to people. And these entities don't look human. They, you know, I say they don't speak human. So when you try to interact with them, they don't come from the same moral base. They don't come from the same feeling base. And so, you know, and I'm more empathic than I am auditory, you know, and so I will feel into their feelings, but they don't have human feelings. And so it's kind of hard to read them because their base, I mean, it would be trying to understand like Klingon morality, you know, as a human, we kind of don't get it because their viewpoint toward life and the world is just very different.
Well, it's like, you know, animals and the instincts that drive them. They won't feel the range of emotions that we do.
Exactly. You know, so I had one woman, and I called him the devil guy, you know, for lack of a, you know, I like giving them all names, and I find it's important to give them a name because then you can kind of separate them and talk about them very specifically. And this guy, he had was presenting with a humanoid form. So he had like arms and legs and a head, but he had like flames all on him, kind of like the Torch, but not, you know, Fantastic Four, the Torch. And I worked with her for a, you know, it took, you know, sometimes you can have the miraculous thing happen and it can all happen in one session. Sometimes it takes multiple sessions to, you know, get rid of whatever this thing is. You know, so I did a couple of sessions with her and really couldn't understand what this guy wanted. And so finally, I kept getting this message that says, I want her to come. I want her to come. And I'm thinking, well, she can't come. I mean, she can't go with you because she's here. You know, she's got this body here and, you know, she can't go with you. And then the connection dawned on me and I looked at my client and I said, have you tried to commit suicide? And she said, twice.
Oh, Lord.
You know, so that I felt was his impact on trying to get her to go with him.
And how on earth did you disconnect that?
It took a while. You know, and actually there were a couple of us both working with her. She was kind of an entity magnet, you know, now, and that was just, and there are people that are entity magnets and they will open the door to any stray being that's walking by, which is a whole other complicated, you know, thing.
Well, look, I remember I've done like you've done from my 20s, really, my teens, really. I've been researching all of this. And when I wasn't recording interviews about it, I was just interested. And I would ask people about these things, or I would have sessions with so-called psychic mediums in different places and try to get readings about my future like a lot of us do. And I was told by a number of these people, you have to be able to protect yourself. And quite a few times, certainly in my early 20s, when I really didn't know as much as I should have known about all of this, and I was very, very interested. And I was starting to do programs and do recordings and things like that a long time ago. But I never quite understood, nor do I still, what that means. How do you protect yourself? You can't buy an insurance policy. I can't buy myself a bulletproof vest that will work for this. So what do you do?
Well, see, and I guess there's part of me that kind of disagrees with the you have to protect yourself. I mean, yes, you have to have good boundaries. You know, people that have poor boundaries tend to be more susceptible, I guess, to getting an attachment. But I feel like one of the things that I believe is that we invite them in. You know, so there are people that espouse the benefits of working with your angels and your guides, and they will tell you, oh, well, if there's something going on, you know, call out to your angels to come and surround you and protect you. But here's the caveat, and I think this is where the whole protection piece lies. If I'm in a really bad place and my energy is, you know, like I have to roll my socks down to see out into the world because I'm in that bad of a place, and I'm calling out and asking something, my angels, to come in, I might get Fred the janitor angel that comes in to try to help me. And originally, his energy might seem better than where I'm at because I'm in a really bad place. But when I get back to my normal self, he's not so good anymore. And that's where people run into the problems. And so if you're in a really bad place, looking for help, asking for somebody to come in and save you, that is the worst medicine because you don't know what you're going to be bringing in. Mm. And it's the same thing with the Ouija board. If you're in a bad place and you're looking to get answers or get support, that is you opening the door.
Boy, you have to be savvy. And most people, you're very savvy, but most people don't have that degree of savvy, do they?
Well, and that's why I go on shows like yours and try to disseminate that kind of information.
So is the answer to a lot of this then a positive attitude? If you want the best for yourself, if you don't think negatively, God, it's hard to do, isn't it? But is that the answer to all of this? So you don't let anything in?
Yeah, or, you know, keeping your energy at a reasonable level. I mean, I think that people have to be in a really bad place to open that door significantly enough to have it come in. You know, I mean, I do the ghost hunting things, and there are people that are, you know, will say, well, when you go into an environment, do you totally protect yourself and surround yourself with white light and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no. Now, do I put out my, like, I have bad energy, so just don't even mess with me vibe? You know, because I'm also, you know, scared of the dark. And so, you know, like, I don't like going into places where there's no lights by myself ever. You know, so maybe I automatically put up protection because it's like I don't want those spooks, you know, coming around me too close. Like, you can stand over there. And they definitely have to stay wherever they're at because I don't want them at my house at all. It's an interesting thing. I went totally off track.
But I was fascinated and I let you do it because it was very, very interesting. But, you know, some of this positive thing is fascinating because I do believe it works. I've seen it work, you know, at my best, but it's a long time ago now. And I've had a few rounds with life since then, but I worked, on a radio station in London. It was the biggest one here. It was like, I'm trying to think of a station in Texas. KLIF in Dallas was a music station a very, very long time ago. That was huge. It's now a, you know, news station. That was a big station. The station that I was on was as big as that and as big as the one that Scott and Todd are on in New York. We were massive. 3 million people a day, and I was on that show for 10 whole years that ended about 10 years ago. And I was very positive and very driven most of the time. Sometimes I'd be in the bathroom in the morning and I'd look at myself and I'm saying, you are going to have a great day today. And I would see a picture of myself coming out of the Euston Tower where Capital Radio was based at the end of my shift saying, that was a great day. On the days when I was positive enough to do that, when I was really under the influence, you know, under the fluence, that exactly would happen. Figure that one out.
Well, I mean, there is an increasing amount of evidence supporting the power of intention. And, you know, if you put out the energy or say, you know, this is how I want my day to be, we can bring it back to ourselves. You know, the whole law of attraction and just putting out the positive energy. And I think that it is a very good practice for everyone to set their intention of how they would like their day to be. Because even if you have bad things that happen to you and you've set a positive intention, they don't necessarily seem as bad.
One of the first guests on The Unexplained Show, and this is a lot of shows ago, it's 139, 140 shows ago, so it's a long time ago, was Birbel Moore from Germany, who had this cult book out called The Cosmic Ordering Service. Now, I understand from her website that Birbel sadly died, which was very upsetting to read because she was a lovely, positive and bright soul, it seemed to me, when I spoke to her. It just shone through the telephone from Germany. Does that stuff work and is it still being used?
I mean, I think that stuff works. Many times when it doesn't work, it's because we self-sabotage it. You know, we'll put out the intention, oh, I'm going to, you know, whatever. And then doubt starts to creep in, you know, and our own ego stuff starts to creep in, and we end up self-sabotaging it. And so then we turn around and say, oh, well, it doesn't work. It's like, well, no, it does. You just have to keep that intention clear, you know, and it can be very hard, you know, and, you know, going back kind of full circle to where we started, many people aren't aware of what's going on within their psyche and in their thought process. And so they're not really, you know, they might set the intention, but then they just kind of let it go. You know, and, you know, one of the things also that they don't really talk about is that there's really an emotional piece that's tied to it. So there are people that, you know, are really big on affirmations. It's like, oh, well, if you say this thing 500 times, you know, it'll happen.
Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better.
But if you're, yeah, but if you're just saying it and it stays in a mental level, it doesn't get the energy. Okay, so from a very energetic, subtle energy perspective, our thoughts are just kind of placeholders. And it's only when we put the emotional energy behind it, aka we believe it, you know, and we can feel it and we can own it in our heart, that it gets the power to move it forward.
Do you think, and I know some people who are involved in projects like this, and half the time I think they're mad, and half the time I think, well, maybe they're onto something. Groups of people who get together and try and save this planet from its inevitable, horrible fate by thinking really positively and trying to connect with light energy, good energy up there. I don't want to sound like a New Ageist, because I ain't, but I know people who do that. Do you think that works? If a group of people, if a bunch of people, if tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of us around the world got together and tried to connect with the best of everything, could we change the world?
I mean, I think it's possible. And, you know, I do come out of the New Age world. I just don't know that it's enough, you know, because there's a lot of bad mojo on this planet.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely right. But I just, I'd like to think that these people are right, but a lot of the time I just think, boy, you know, holding hands and chanting like that, I just, you know, but I'm a hard, look, I'm a hard-headed journalist. I was trained in really hard newsrooms. So,
you know, and
as much as I think that way, there's that hard part. Sorry.
Yeah, and there's not, you know, people want the science, people want the numbers. You know, and there's not, you know, there's not that kind of data because we're not able to measure that data right now. Hmm. You know, and it's right up there with the whole ghost phenomena. It's like if you ask somebody, just about everyone you talk to will say that at some point in their life, they've seen or experienced ghostly phenomena. But if you ask a scientist, ghosts don't exist. You know, and so it's, yeah. You know, one of the other things that I really believe is that there was in antiquity there are many things that we're discovering now in science that were talked about by the ancients, which include using intention, using ritual to create an intention space in order to manifest things or control things on the physical world or in the physical world. And I think we are just starting to rediscover things that they knew in antiquity. I listen to some of these shows and I'm like, you know, if you go to the metaphysical bookstore, you can find entire books that cover this topic, you know, from a more experiential perspective and a more subjective perspective, but they talk about the exact same things.
It's a hard journey that we're all on, trying to filter out the wackos and the people who are just misguided from the people who are really onto something. That's why I'm involved in what I do, because I'm fascinated by it. I know there's a truth out there that needs finding. And I probably won't find all of it or even a part of it in my lifetime, but I just want to look. It sounds to me like you're the same. When Roger Sanders said to me, you've got to talk to Rita Louise, she does shows like yours, I said, oh God, you know, two hosts together onto, you know, that's never going to work. That's just, no, I really don't want to do that, Roger. And I thought about it a lot. And I looked at your website and I looked at your picture and I thought, no, I've got to do this. It was only really an introducer to you, so we'll talk about specific topics some more when next we talk, but I hope it's been useful for you.
It has, but we didn't even get to my latest book, Man-Made, The Chronicles of Our Extraterrestrial Gods, or anything.
I have it right here. go on. In a couple of minutes, because we have a couple of minutes if you want them, sum it up for me, and we'll come back and talk about it properly.
Okay. About the book?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Man-Made, The Chronicles of Our Extraterrestrial Gods looks at our mythology from the mythological perspective. There are a lot of people that will take myth to try to prove a point. And what this book does is allows the myth to tell its own story so that we can better understand our history from that perspective. You know, and one of the things that I believe is that the myths, especially the creation stories, are not our stories about the gods, but the gods' stories about themselves that we still tell in present time.
Right. And can you think of one to whet my appetite?
Okay. Oh, let's see. Well, I mean, there are just so many, you know. Well, no, I can't think of one, because one of the things that it looks at, one of the things that we did in this book was not look at specific myths, but looked at the narrative. We looked at the storyline. And so we started with in the beginning and ended the storyline with just after the flood and the advent of writing. And what we found was that if you explore myths from around the world, they all tell the same story. And so if you take these highlight points from these different narrative myths, for example, the flood, talking about a golden age, talking about when there was a dark world, and you put them into this timeline and then start reviewing myths from around the world, you can start piecing in stories that come from Australia, that come from North America, South America, the Greeks, the Sumerians, from the Celtic lineages, and they fit into this like spreadsheet. But they all have a little twist on the information. And so what we think is the story might not be the whole story. And it just starts to get interesting in that way.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if there were that many commonalities between all of those stories? And then we would really finally be getting close to the answer.
But there are. Mm. That's the part. Mm. There are. And that's what we present in this book is, here's the storyline, and this is what these other, you know, here's the key point, and this is what all of these cultures say. You know, and there are a lot of people that will put out their position and say, well, the pyramids were built for this thing, and this happened for this thing, and we did not take that positioning. You know, in the work that I do, it's about me reporting the information. In the work that you do, it's about you reporting the information. It's really not about your opinion. And so we just reported, this is what the myths say. Now, did we put some leading questions in there to make you think about stuff? Sure. But did we turn around and say, and this means blah, blah, blah? No. Because it's really about educating the reader into understanding what's going on and what the myths are actually saying for them to make their own opinion and their own judgment as to what makes sense to them.
We have to reconvene. Maybe we'll leave it a few months and we'll talk again. Would that be good?
That would be wonderful.
Dr. Rita Louise, and if you want to know more about her work, I've put a link on my website, www.theunexplained.tv, to her website, and you will see some fascinating stuff there. www.theunexplained.tv is the place to find that link. Also the place to to find the link that allows you to email me with your guest suggestions, general thoughts on the show, whatever you want to say about it, that's fine. There's a PayPal link there too. If you're able to make a donation, that would be great. I am really thrilled that we seem to be making even more of a breakthrough in the US and Canada. I think you know, if you've listened to me long enough, that I love the broadcasters and the broadcasting of North America. And my greatest heroes are on radio stations in the US and Canada. So for you to give me your time, and you live there, and you've been brought up on that broadcasting, is an absolute thrill. Thank you very, very much. Thank you to Adam Cornwell at Creative Hotspot in Liverpool for devising and maintaining the website and getting the show out. You couldn't do it without Adam. Certainly couldn't do any of it without you and your ongoing support. Until we meet again here on The Unexplained, stay safe, stay calm, and stay in touch. My name is Howard Hughes. This has been The Unexplained. I am in London, and I will return to you soon. Take care.